You're tuned in to the most popular hour on AM radio and the fastest hour on AM radio, Faith and Sport, coming to you on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also streaming at CarolinaCatholicMedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic mobile app. We're also broadcasting across the Radio Maria broadcasting area. Good to have all of our Radio Maria listeners tuned in around the broadcasting area. Great to have you tuned in for Faith and Sport. I'm Chris, the producer, and as always, here live in studio, the host of Faith and Sport, the one, the only, Dr. John Aquaviva.
And the crowd, cue the crowd. Hey, folks, wherever, whenever, and however you're joining us, welcome to Faith and Sport.
There they are.
I know, they were... They got the memo late. In fact, I think the text didn't go through. Folks, this is Faith in Sport, where we apply our faith to all aspects of sports. So whether you're an athlete, a parent of an athlete, grandparent of an athlete, a referee or umpire, involved in sport in any way, this is the show for you. We merge the world of faith and sport in that we talk about sport really through the lens of character, morality, and ethics. Thank you for joining us today. Carolina Catholic Radio listeners, Radio Maria listeners, fantastic show we got on the docket. So let's talk about what we're going to discuss. Talk today's sports topics with, including our hit and miss with Ed Billick. He's going to join us via the phone in 1 minute. Our guest today is Kevin Spaulding. He's an author, an audiobook narrator, a business coach, and the master of ceremonies for the upcoming Men's Conference of the Carolinas take place just in a few days from now. And then we're going to do the quick Q&A with Dr. A. Before we do that, brother, Chris, I know that you've been through a lot lately, but it's good to see you behind the microphone. Thank you for everything you do for Carolina Catholic Radio. Thank you for doing this show. And if nothing else, brother, I'm hoping that you're a little energized because NASCAR is underway and then spring training baseball is underway.
I was a little saddened, though, to hear that my man Chase Elliott was in a snowboarding accident and he's out of the race indefinitely right now.
They're not sure
when he's going to be able to come back. He's got to recover from a snowboarding accident before he can drive again.
Well, you know, I'm not one of the, I'm sure I'm not the only person, I should say, who thinks this way, but my guess is NASCAR drivers, whatever they're behind the wheel of, they're going to go probably faster than the average person.
Yeah.
So if he's behind the gas pedal of a snowmobile, he's probably going a little faster than everybody else. In fact, he knows how to put some rocket fuel in there so it goes much faster than everybody else.
Yeah.
Anyway, brother, thank you for everything you do. Let's have
a
good show.
Glad to do it.
Yeah, let's have a good show here today. You're going to come on air again toward the end of the show when we do our quick Q&A with Dr. A. Is Ed Billick ready to join us?
Yes, he is.
Let's put him on right now, folks. Ed Billick, he's a frequent co-host of this show. Ed, how you doing, brother? Welcome to Faith and Sport.
Good, John. Good. Sorry, I can't be exactly there with you, but I'm here and I'm on a landline. You know, on radio, we know you got to have a good quality sound coming through to enrich the show. So I say, I got a landline here. I'm about to use it.
Yeah, the fans are still going wild.
I know. I don't know. Are they cheering Ed or are they cheering the landline? Ed, would you agree with me that you and I are less than 50% crowd of people who own landlines? I want to say more than 50% of everybody I know does not own a landline. Would you agree with that?
The only reason, John, and many of you may have a security system which is like 20 years old, and you got to have a landline to communicate with their headquarters.
Interesting.
So that's the only reason I got it.
There you go, brother. Either way, landline, cell phone, opening up the window and shouting real loud. I am so glad you're here with us, brother. As always, let's get this conversation started with our hit or misses. This is something that's good or bad, positive or negative in the world of sport. As always, brother, you go first. What do you got for us today?
Well, I'll tell you what, John. It was back in the 70s, the mid-70s, I went to my first professional golf tournament. And it was the Bay Hill Classic down in Orlando.
Got it.
A friend of mine was, had some tickets. I saw these pro golfers. I'd never seen people hit the ball so well, so fast, so accurate.
Yep.
And so I always had a spot in my heart, and of course a spot in my heart for Arnie Palmer.
Sure.
Who, you know, from Latrobe, Pennsylvania, I think my mom had a crush on him when she was younger. Didn't marry him, obviously, or I'd be Arnold Palmer's son.
But thank you for clarifying.
Classic, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, that's my hit. And my hit is Kurt Kurtiyama, who won it. But I don't know if you were watching the tournament, John, but in the last... Gosh, the last three holes, there were five golfers tied for the lead. And you want to talk about an exciting close. So my hit is that tied in with Terrell Hatton.
Who's that?
And Terrell Hatton, you watch him golf, he talks to himself.
Oh, does
he's
he?
Talking to the ball. He's talking, I think he's talking to God. He's talking to everybody. It's very entertaining, but just a great scene down there in Bay Hill at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and that was just a joy to watch those last few rounds.
That's fantastic. Brother, La Trobe is how far from Manesson where you were born and raised?
Yeah, I would say it's about 45 minutes.
That's it. Okay, you guys are neighbors then. You
it's
and,
at the
Artie.
Other end of Westmoreland County in Pennsylvania, not too far from Aliquippa, where we have a Radio Maria affiliate.
There you
not
go.
Aliquippa, I'm sorry, Altoona.
Altoona, yes.
Yeah, so anyhow, the folks up there are very familiar in the Arnold Palmer Airport. People can fly in and out of La Trobe. God bless him. I'm sure he's up there in heaven with the rest of those that we've lost. But anyhow, they do it up very well, John, and it was a great golf tournament. And then Kirk Kutiyama, it's his first PGA win.
There you go. I know it's always neat to see that because I like to see literally the wealth be spread with tournaments like that. There's so much money available in pro sports, and the PGA Tour is no exception to that. And, of course, brother, one of the reasons I like talking golf, especially this time of year, is we're getting ready for the Masters. You must be really excited about that.
That's always a prime event. That's where you have the TV on the whole day and the scenery and all. John, have you ever been to Augusta?
I have not. I know I'm a little embarrassed to say that, but have you?
Yes. Well, practice rounds twice.
Got it.
Never, and I get the lotto. And, folks, you can apply online in the lottery, and every year they award tickets. And we've never been, me and my buddies, never been awarded, the 4 days of Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. But I got to practice around once, and that was a lot of fun to go down on a Wednesday. The course is just absolutely unbelievably gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Azaleas and everything. So it's a great time of the year, to your point.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Joining me on the phone, normally he's in studio, is Ed Billick. Longtime radio personality here locally with WBT, and he's joined me here on this show on and off. In fact, mostly more on than off for the past several years. We are certainly partners in faith, as some folks like to say.
Well, and John,
yes.
John, you alluded to it, the Men's Catholic Conference coming up. That's a big-time event. Now, I can't wait to hear the speakers and be there again.
Yeah, in fact, that's a great segue. Guess who is going to be our second half of the show guest? His name is Kevin Spaulding. He's the master of ceremony. And one of the reasons that that him and I have been brought together is that he does audiobooks. He's the audiobook narrator for Tan Books, a Catholic publisher. They happen to be the publisher of my book on body image. It's called Improving Body Image Through Catholic Teaching. And Kevin, the MC for this year's Men's Conference of the Carolinas, was the narrator for my book. Isn't that amazing?
I like how things are all connected.
I know, it's fantastic. And I can't wait to ask him the story because I actually forgot some of the details, but he chose my book out of all of their titles, and he said, hey, I'd like to do this one. And I was so flattered by that because even though he's done a lot, he kind of handpicked mine. And folks, something to look forward to, and Ed, you're going to have to tune in for the second half of this show, is that he is going to read from my book on my show. Is that the craziest thing?
What an honor there, John.
I know.
What do you think, Chris? That's an honor.
I know. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris,
yeah. Yeah.
Chris, I know. Chris couldn't hide his excitement there. All right, brother, listen to this. This is my hit or miss. Mine is much more dramatic than yours. Yours was uplifting and kind of a good segue into the Masters that's coming up just in a couple weeks. Mine is a little more kind of controversial, and it's a theme of this show, at least to a certain degree. A mid-Vermont Christian school had a game, a basketball game, a girls' basketball game, and prior to the game being played, they found out that one of the players on the opposing team had a male on it. Now, this person claimed to be a transgender female, but as we know from this show and just from my commentary as an exercise physiologist, this is somebody who is a male, and they have drastic and vast differences in physiology that give them a distinct advantage, not just a slight advantage, a distinct advantage. Anyway, they forfeited the game, and this is directly from the head of the Vermont Christian School, Vicky Fogg, who said, because we believe playing against an opponent with a biological male jeopardizes the fairness of the game and the safety of our players, we will forfeit this game. And so this just kind of adds to the controversy. You know, it's adding to the fuel and the the all the headlines that it gets, because some states like Florida, Tennessee, West Virginia, Texas have banned these transgender youth. And this is part of reason it's sad. Now, this was for me, Ed, this was a positive. I think it's vital, not just important, but vital that other people do this. And I want to make a point, though, that I brought up before, because I think this is really important. Amanda Rodenberg, the associate director for Outright Vermont, which advocates for the LGBTQ youth, said that the school's actions show that Vermont is not immune to anti-trans hate. And it's just a shame when people, Ed, bring out that term, because this isn't a matter of hate. This is a matter of, to use the word from the other side of this argument, fairness. And I've said on this show before, Ed, and I'll say it again now, I'm not against folks, trans athletes participating. They should just have a third category. There should be, in the Olympics and the college level, high school level, and whenever else in between, there should be people that were born male in one category, people that were born female in another category, and then all transgender athletes should be in a third category. Your thoughts, brother?
Well, it's absolutely correct. It's not fair to the young females or to the either male or female, whatever sport it is, to have somebody of the other sex competing.
You know,
it's just not fair.
No, it's not. It truly defines that word fair, and it's something that needs to be brought up. And I think most people would probably agree with me. They're not against having them compete, but there is a, you know, there's some backlash against them having, you know, boys that were boys yesterday, having them compete against girls today.
You know something, John, and I'm saying it on the air here, but I'm firmly starting to believe this. Anytime there is an action that is taken that goes against some of these new cultural norms, the word hate is thrown out there. And
yeah,
it's because it seems to be, okay, let's label somebody as trans hater, when in fact that's not the case.
Yeah.
But that seems to be an ongoing message, is you defame, you put down those that don't agree with you. And that doesn't surprise me. I'm just real proud of this Mid-Vermont Christian School for forfeiting the game.
Yeah,
it's not fair. It's not fair at all, to your point.
No, I agree. Thank you for your support on that. And of course, this argument has a lot
It flies in the face of common sense, if you ask me.
No, of course. It's not just a matter of faith. Like, you don't have to have any faith to reason this out. You know, simple logic can help you get the right answer.
Well, it's also a safety point, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Somebody can actually get hurt.
No doubt. Brother, listen, we're going to go to break here in a minute. Please stay with us after the break. We've got a couple more things to talk about. But before we do that, I want to mention there's only two organizations that have officially banned trans athletes, and that is the World Rugby Association and the World Hockey Association. And to your point, it's because they would actually get hurt. All right, folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, co-production of Radio Maria. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. We'll be right back with more Faith and Sport in just 2 minutes.
Faith and charity are key elements of life, but are they at the center of your retirement planning and life insurance decisions? Knights of Columbus, a trusted organization with a proud history of more than 140 years of helping its members, can help Catholic families with insurance and retirement planning solutions. Most importantly, we do this in a way that is compatible with Catholic teaching and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Investment Guidelines. Today, we have expanded our offerings to include retirement annuities, long-term care insurance, and disability income insurance. Beyond the benefits of financial protection, members may take satisfaction in knowing that Knights of Columbus contributes to causes that align with Catholic moral teaching. Let your faith inspire your financial decisions. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more by calling field agent Bob Gordon at 516-551-7838.
teachers that care, professors that care about you. Just an awesome experience all around.
There's peace here. There's encouragement here.
Faculty, everybody that works here, they really set you up for success.
I don't think I have ever felt as loved and as supported and as encouraged as I have at the Abbey.
There's something here that's underlying and intrinsic. It's like a spirit of love and community. And I think the spirit is God's presence here.
Belmont Abbey College, a world away, but close to home. Visit us at belmontabbeycollege.edu.
How do we, man, I have a hard time bringing an end to that song. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, a co-production of Radio Maria. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Thank you for joining us today, Faith and Sport, where we look at sport through a Catholic lens. Joining us and continuing our conversation of our hit and misses and stuff going on in the world of sport, Ed Billick. Ed, buddy, you know, before we get into this Deion Sanders controversy, I think I sent you a link to that and you had a chance to read it, and I think it's going to be really good conversation. On a much lighter note, you know that one of the changes that is going to come over Major League Baseball, in fact, it's already been instilled because of spring training starting, was that there's bigger bases. You're familiar with this, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, listen to this. Talk about coincidence. I thought this was so, for lack of a better word, strange, what I kind of stumbled upon. So I'm working out the other day, and I'm channel flipping. I come across MLB.com, and a former player who I actually did not know who it was by name, but he was talking, they were talking about this rule change that it's actually 3 inches all the way around. So there's, you know, it's to encourage more base hits in the, from the infield, more stolen bases and so forth. And he made a comment. He said, boy, I wish that the 3-inch bigger bags were around when I was playing just a couple years ago. I probably would have had 30 more hits, right? So keep that in mind in the backdrop of the following. Last year, I heard an interview with Keith Hernandez, right? Remember the longtime Mets?
Absolutely.
Okay. And he gave this long interview. He was really gracious with giving his time to this interviewer. And the only thing I really remember about this interview was that he said, I kind of wished I would have stopped playing a year or so earlier because I was hitting 300. And the last year, I didn't do as well, and I dipped below 300, and I think that's a reason why I'm not in the Hall of Fame. And by the way, he hit 296, right? So for some reason, I'm sitting on the couch the other night. My wife's reading. It's quiet in the house. The kids were in bed. And I thought about that conversation that I had heard that day from that former player who said, I probably would have got 30 more hits. So, Ed, I jumped up. I found out how many at-bats Keith Hernandez had, and I added 30 more hits to his career. He jumped from 296 to exactly 300. I know that story sounds like it's made up or somebody else told me that. That's exactly what happened. I couldn't believe my eyes. I was looking at the calculator for 20 seconds without blinking. I was like, wow. And, of course, he played so long, Ed, he might have well have gotten 30 more hits because of the
John, facility. You know, you're funny. You are the professor. Only you would take the time to figure that out. You know why he didn't get those 30 more hits? He was smoking cigarettes in the dugout.
I know that was amazing. He's the last player I remember actually doing that. There's probably players.
He got winded. He didn't have enough oxygen in his
you
lungs.
Know, that's a good
now
point.
Now you know why John's got the doctor beside his name, Ed.
Yeah.
All right, hey. So listen, Ed. Let's go to this Deion Sanders head coaching job controversy at Colorado. Of course, Deion Sanders, former NFL great, played in the Major League Baseball as well for the Atlanta Braves, and he is it's the center of a controversy now over religion. He was pretty expressive about his strong belief when he was coaching at Jackson State. This past offseason, he moved up in the ranks and he got the job at Colorado, something probably he was looking forward to, right? A big Division I gig. But he was mocked for saying that God had sent him to become the coach of Jackson State because he ended up leaving the job anyway. And, of course, that is possible. That's how God moves. But he is under scrutiny. He's under some controversy. There's some controversy that he stirred, at least by certain people, because he's not only praying with the team, Ed, but the outsiders and the parents in particular are in fear that they're going to force the student athletes to pray with him, or even bigger, that if they don't pray, that there's going to be some type of retribution, right? They're not going to play. They're not going to play as much. They're going to get cut from the team, whatever the case is. And I just want to make this clear because this is from, this is from the First Liberty Institute that reads, "We write to correct Freedom From Religion Foundation's misstatements regarding the requirements imposed by the First Amendment on public school employees' religious expression. The Supreme Court has repeatedly held that public school employees, which Colorado is, may engage in religious expression and exercise. Therefore, public universities like CU, Colorado University, may not target Coach Sanders or any other members of the football staff for exercising constitutional rights on campus." And Ed, before you talk, this seems to be a clear violation of, if somebody oversteps the bounds in any aspect, especially religion, then people attack it. But people don't seem to have a problem when politics or other forms of religion are broached that serves them. Your comments.
Christianity always seems to be a target. Deion Sanders is a very vocal person.
He is.
And yet he carries a lot of clout. And in the culture, he carries a lot of positive vibes. Is he pushing the boundary a little bit here? Good for him. There's always going to be those naysayers. You can go either way. Okay, Deion, just tone it down a little bit. But what's that really mean, tone it down?
That's right.
So anyone that goes to discipleship expresses their faith in the public forum will get criticized. So he knows what he's up against. I'm just glad to say he's speaking the word of God there. I didn't know he was that. I didn't know he was that fervent of a Christian. So I'm applauding his efforts there. And players, and you always preach us on faith and sport. They need leadership, I'm sure quite a few of these players didn't get the leadership in the home, and here he's providing that Christian leadership.
That's
and
right.
Good for him. And if it converts a few to Christianity, then he's doing his job.
All the better. No, I agree, brother. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport, where we merge sport and virtue. You're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio. It's a co-production of Radio Maria. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Joining me on the phone is Ed Billick. We're only going to have Ed for another minute or two. And Ed, I wanted to add on to that. And just, I mentioned, when it serves the other side, whoever the other side is, they don't seem to take offense at their own actions. I'm going to give a specific example. Do you remember the Senate race that took place in Georgia a couple years ago? A gal by the name of Kelly Loeffler was going against Raphael Warnock for the United States Senate.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Loeffler happens to be, coincidentally, at the time was the Atlanta Dreams, the WNBA's franchise. She was the owner of that franchise. But she was a Republican. She was a supporter of the former President Trump. And one day before a game, the Atlanta Dream all wore a black T-shirt that said, "Vote Warnock." And remember, this T-shirt wasn't worn in practice. It was worn in a warm-up before a nationally televised game and before a crowd at that arena. And that is a really good example, brother, of, even though it clearly crosses the boundaries of the WNBA and its affiliation with either type or anybody's political beliefs, because it suited what you could consider at the time maybe the majority, there was nothing said. In fact, it's only outlets like this, Ed, in which somebody even brings that up. But that's a clear example of somebody overstepping those bounds. But when those bounds are overstepped, nobody points that out. Your thoughts, your final thoughts.
And I always go back to my days in the corporation I worked for. You could wear a uniform on the floor. You had to have the name of the company you worked for on your uniform or on your hat. You couldn't be walking around in Pittsburgh Steeler hats. You couldn't be walking around in the other companies' logos. Okay, that was prohibited.
Interesting.
Here, this should be prohibited because what you were doing is you're violating. There's a premise there. You're violating, and then when the organization tolerates that, they've just opened the doors.
Right.
So why can't you wear pro-life T-shirts?
That's right. No, I know you always bring that up, and I think that's a great analogy, and that's a perfect example. What would have happened to those players if they would have wore something that some type of organization that supported or just simply said pro-life?
Where God is great.
That's right. That's right. In big, bold, white letters on a black shirt. I wonder how many people
would have. Or a finger point to you. You better get your act together.
Ed Billick, brother, thank you for joining Faith and Sport.
Always a pleasure, John. I'll be with you next time in studio.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of stuff done around the house here today, so I wasn't able to make the trip over there. But have fun with your guests. I'll go to the podcast.
Yeah, that'll be great.
The interview later.
Okay, yep, that's right. I appreciate that, brother. You have a good day, and we'll talk soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. There you go, folks. Ed Billick here on Faith and Sport. It's cool to have him on the phone, Chris, but it's not the same thing, is it, brother?
Not quite. It's always good to hear his voice, though. Makes it seem like he's in the studio with you.
I know. If I had a more fragile ego, it'd be really tough for me to do this show because of this. You got a great voice.
Thank you.
Ed's got a great voice. And then when you guys are on together, I just kind of sit back and go, okay, this is Faith and Sport with Dr. A.
Yeah, you know, you were talking about the guy voicing your audio book for your book. I like to voice one of those and try to sound like Morgan Freeman.
You could actually do that. I bet anybody.
John Aquaviva.
If this guy didn't make so much money doing it, he'd probably be willing to. I know, John
Aquaviva.
Yeah, in fact, what Chris is referring to, folks, in case you just joined us, is just in a few minutes, a gentleman, Kevin Spaulding, author, audiobook narrator, business coach, and master of the ceremony for the upcoming Men's Conference of the Carolinas. By the way, folks, those of you in Radio Maria land that won't be able to drive here to Charlotte to attend the men's conference, it's going to be available online.
And
I think the rate in which you can join is maybe a fraction. So folks, consider that. So literally and truly, this is for everybody listening. Anyway, as I mentioned, in case you didn't hear it, he's an audiobook narrator for many of Tan Books, the Catholic book distributor and publisher. And that is the publisher of my book, Improving Body Image Through Catholic Teaching. And one of the things that Kevin's going to do, he's going to read from that book.
Wow.
Chris, I think when he's reading from that book, I might have tears coming out of my eyes. I mean, it'll be the first time I've ever heard anybody reading the written word of me. So
well, hopefully, it's a good thing we're getting it on camera so everybody can see you cry on camera.
That's why there's total proof, right? Because if you say you cry when you're on the radio, there's no proof of it. You know, one more thing I wanted to mention about this the transgender thing. Chris, do you know who Joe Rogan is?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's like a big podcaster. In fact, I want to say he's the most successful podcaster
of all time. I think
he is. He's literally a multimillionaire. There's millions of people that watch his podcast, and he gets really big guests on, right?
I mean, every time I hear about Spotify, I hear Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan, yeah. And I think he made his fame with Fear Factor. He was the narrator of that and the host of that, I should say. But now he's this big. No, and then he got into MMA fighting.
That's right.
Like the
MMA
announcer
fighter.
Or host or whatever. And it was interesting because I heard him the other day. And previously, I'd heard him on his podcast say, I don't really am for the transgender athlete, but I'm not necessarily against them. And guess what made him go against it? When this person claiming to be a girl won a couple fights and really destroyed their female opponent. And when he became against it, Chris, is when he found out that he was just a guy the year before. Then he stood up. And the reason I'm bringing that up, it's so interesting, Chris. sometimes you don't have feel like you have a dog in the fight until you have a dog in the fight. In other words, mm-hmm. he didn't really care about baseball or football or basketball, whatever, but he cares about MMA.
Right.
As soon as that dude came over, started crushing those girls, he mm-hmm. was like, we need to stand up for this.
That's right.
That is an issue.
That's a very unfair advantage.
Oh, I can't even, you know, we're going to need a separate show to talk about all the unfair
That's
advantages
right.
there. All right, folks, listen, stay tuned. We're going to go to break here on Faith in Sport. Dr. John Acquaviva, stay tuned. We have more conversation with Kevin Spaulding right after this.
Hi, everyone. It's Jason Murphy for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas and the Obligation Radio Show here on the Carolina Catholic Media Network. Registration is now open for the 13th annual Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas to be held on March 18th, 2023 at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. It's going to be an amazing day of faith, fellowship, and prayer. Of course, we'll be joined, as always, by our own Bishop Peter Jugas of the Diocese of Charlotte. We also have a great lineup of speakers, including Charles Frawney. Charles is the author of Slaying Dragons, What Exorcists See, and What We Should Know. He's going to be there to discuss spiritual warfare. Also joining us, Jonathan Fanning. He is an author, speaker, an entrepreneur, and a father. Coming to us from High Point, North Carolina, the Diocese of Charlotte, is Deacon John Clark. Deacon is a former NYPD SWAT officer and former MMA fighter. You won't want to miss this one. Scott Wieman is going to be another one of our speakers. He's with Catholic in Recovery. He's going to talk to us about addiction and recovery for Catholics. And our MC this year will be Kevin Spaulding. Kevin is a speaker, an author, and business life coach. You can go online now to www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Make sure to use the promo code RADIO and save $5. We look forward to seeing you there on this awesome day full of faith, fellowship, and prayer. For the Catholic Men's Conference, Carolinas, the Obligation Radio Show, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless, and esto vir.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Faith in Sport, where we apply our faith to all aspects of sport. This is a sports show. No doubt we're going to talk about sports, hence the name Faith in Sport, but we're going to really try to do a good job of weaving character, morality, and sports or ethics into that sports conversation. Either way, thank you for joining us whenever, wherever, and however you're joining us. Joining us right now is Kevin Spaulding. He's an author. In fact, his book is From Panic to Power, Simple Yet Powerful Techniques to Overcome Your Fears. He's an audiobook narrator, including mine, Body Image Through Catholic Teaching. And he's the master of ceremony for this upcoming Men's Conference of the Carolinas. Kevin Spaulding, welcome to Faith in Sport.
Hey, good afternoon, John.
This is fantastic, brother. I was so flattered that you reached out to me a couple years ago. I want to say it was unprovoked by me. In fact, I think you reached out to me, and somehow you came across my book, and then you approached Tan and said, hey, I'd like to do John's book and be the audiobook narrator. What made you decide to do that?
Well, I had been narrating books for a while, and I had been working with St. Benedict Press and Tan Books for a while and had narrated, I don't remember how many exactly at that point. And I was listening to your show one Saturday afternoon driving around town, you were talking about the book.
Got it.
I said, hey, that's a pretty interesting book. Hey,
yeah.
You mentioned it was Tan Books.
Yeah.
And I was coming up to talking about maybe doing another title, and I talked to Kevin Gallagher there, and I said, well, hey, How about improving your body image through Catholic teaching? That sounds like an interesting book. I think it might make sense to put it in audio.
Oh, that's...
And so he agreed, and the rest is history.
That's right, folks. The rest is history. Brother, I am so flattered by that, and I'm so happy that you did that, because I think this is a really important topic. And then we're going to end this conversation the way we started it, with talking about this book. And I'm going to keep our listeners at the edge of their seat in Carolina Catholic Radio land and Radio Maria land by just teasing that toward the end of this segment, you're going to read a couple paragraphs from that book. But, brother, I'm just curious. Like, there's probably a few people out there that have really good voices, and they're like, yeah, that'd be one way to do it, right, is be an audiobook narrator. Mm-hmm. Was there an ad in the paper, on the internet? Like, how did you hook up with Tan originally?
Well, to begin with, shall we say, I learned how to do the reading portion of it, speaking portion of it, largely through a group called Toastmasters, public speaking, et cetera.
Okay.
And I think I'd written my own book back before I ever got into this. And I wound up coming across a public domain volunteer Christian website called Christian Classics Ethereal Library. And they had what amounted to volunteers had produced public domain Christian tomes, and I got involved with that and did a few with them. So that's how I kind of learned how to do it, doing just volunteer with not terribly good equipment.
Sure.
And then about 9-10 years ago, I was at my church, and a physician at my church, Dr. Marty Damore, was in the final throes of Lou Gehrig's disease.
Wow.
And he had written a book called Joy and Suffering, My Life with ALS.
Wow.
And the short answer is I was so impressed with it, I reached out to him and I said, Marty, I would love to be able to give you a voice and create an audio book of your book. Not really knowing what I was offering.
Yeah.
And he agreed. And so the first thing I had to do was to upgrade myself to have professional level equipment. So the short answer is I produced that book. It became available through Audible. And then after that, I connected with, Kevin Gallagher at St. Benedict Press,
yeah,
at the Eucharistic Congress here in town in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Again, what we're talking 9 years or so ago. And as I talked to him about, hey, if you'd like to bring things to audio, I'd love to talk to you about that. And we kind of went back and forth a little bit. And then he said, hey, we'd like to start doing some more audio books. How about doing a title for us? And then got rolling with them, and I don't know, I've probably done a dozen for them, and I've done about 70 total.
Oh, no kidding. And like, for instance, is over the last few years, or even just say in the last few months, is there always something kind of waiting for you to do the audiobook for?
Well, it comes and goes. I haven't done one for a couple of months now, but hey, I'm retired and enjoying it, even though sometimes my wife has to remind me I'm retired. So I'm not chomping at the bit to do it, but I love doing particularly Catholic tomes.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes people ask me about books I do, and I always say the very first requirement I have to have of any book that I'm going to narrate
is
it has to be a book that I genuinely want to read.
Interesting.
Because by the time I get done, I'm going to be very intimate with that book.
Yes,
it's the equivalent
absolutely.
Of reading a book half a dozen times. Now, it's not to the level of theatrical production where you have to memorize.
That's right.
But you're going to get very intimate with the text.
No, I appreciate that, brother. I appreciate what you do, because you know, the one of the reasons I was looking forward to having you on is that there are so many ways to get involved in our faith, and there's so many ways to be a part of our faith and to give to God, because He has given us, just about everybody, a certain gift or a couple gifts, and your gift is voice and articulation of message, and in particular the Catholic message. And I'm not being facetious, and I'm not taking this comment light at all. I really believe that this is your way to add to the kingdom of God, right? This is one of the few ways. In fact, there's a lot of people that go, I read books all the time. I listen to audiobooks, right? It's kind of a joke, almost making fun of themselves. But think about how many times people have heard somebody's book, in particular, maybe through your voice, where they may have not have heard that message otherwise. So, brother, I appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I've been enjoying it, and I think you're absolutely right. Each one of us, God has given individual gifts to. And as St. Paul talks about, it's a body. We all have different organs, different parts of that body, but the body isn't healthy unless every part is operating.
That's right.
And it's just an opportunity for me to be of service in this way, in this case, use my voice. But, each of us has our own skills and talents, and God expects us and holds us accountable to use those talents to the level that he's given us.
Absolutely. Folks, we're talking with author and audiobook narrator Kevin Spaulding. He's also a business coach. He's going to be the master of ceremony for the upcoming Men's Conference of the Carolinas to be held right here, St. Thomas Aquinas in Charlotte. And as I mentioned to our Radio Maria listeners, as well as the people listening in Carolina Catholic Radio Land, that you do not have to, since the pandemic, I think this is pretty typical, you can attend online. And I think the entrance fee is going to be a fraction of what it would be to attend live, because it covers, you know, when you attend live, it covers lunch and so forth. But you would not get to put a voice or a face to a voice in people like Kevin Spaulding if you didn't come to this thing. Kevin, you introduced yourself to me, and to tell the truth, I can't remember if this was before or after you did my audiobook, but you introduced yourself to me while I was the master of ceremony at the Men's Conference of the Carolinas. Let me ask you, you've probably been to several men's conferences. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think I've pretty much been to them largely since they started, what, dozen years ago?
Something like this. I want to say it's maybe not quite as close to maybe 10 years ago, but either way, let me ask you, what drew you to it? Like, what draws you to these things? Because ultimately, I want to draw other people. Like, there's a lot of guys out there that kind of think, I go to church on Sunday. I receive the sacrament of confession every few months, whatever the, right? And we all kind of engage in our faith to the degree that often we feel comfortable with. But this is a push to just go a little outside of that and just be challenged a little more by going to this conference. But what first drew you to it? Like, what do you remember, like, the first conference that you went to and kind of what was the draw?
Well, for me, I think the first draw, other than the concept of a men's half-day retreat, if you want to call it that, a men's conference with speakers and getting away, that was not foreign to me. So that much was a bit of a draw. I look forward to connecting with other Catholic men who took their faith seriously, yeah, to nurture that on many different levels. In all candor, I think probably one of my first draws for the first time I went was one of the speakers was Father Larry Richards,
right,
who is a wonderful Catholic speaker and priest. And he is from my hometown, Erie, Pennsylvania.
There
he
you go.
Taught at a Catholic boys' high school in Erie, Pennsylvania that I got thrown out of. So I had a great connection that we don't have time to go into here, but he was certainly a big draw.
Neat. Oh, yeah. In fact, that was at St. Matthew, remember? And,
yes.
And I remember we did a show live. Ed and I did a show live, and I remember I corralled Father Richard over to our booth, and boy, he just hit the ground. He just came right off the altar. I grabbed him almost literally by the arm, go, Father, you agreed to be on Carolina Catholic Radio, and he goes, where do I go? And he put on that headset, and it's like the microphone was never taken from him. It was great.
Yeah.
And of course, people are drawn to that, right? Men are drawn to other men that are on fire for the faith, because you and I both know this, right? Everybody kind of, most people probably kind of ebb and flows, right? Like our faith is strong and it has these points of weakness. Maybe some bad stuff happens to us for whatever reason. We stop seeing the true meaning in the sacraments, whatever the case is. But if this is the time to go, because whether you are an ebber or a flower, in other words, whether it's really strong or really weak at this point, either way, it's a reason to go, because you want to keep it strong, and if it's weak, you want to strengthen it. And I think this is as good as lineup as we had. Brother, I'm going to put you on the spot here, but do you remember by name any of the speakers that we have that you're going to introduce? It's a week from Saturday, correct?
Right.
Okay.
It's a week from Saturday. I think the first, the two that I actually have met is one is Charles Frawney.
Yep.
Who wrote Slaying Dragons, who I also narrated that book.
Fantastic.
And had have known Charles for a while. and then also Scott Wieman, who is the founder and director of Catholic in Recovery, which is a wonderful ministry, and he's coming to us from San Diego.
That's awesome.
And we have two additional speakers, and forgive me, I just don't have the names in front of me. I don't know them personally. And then, of course, the bishop's going to be saying Mass.
That's right.
It'll be a holy hour and many priests for confessions.
That's right. In fact, confession is – that's truly one of the things I love about it is you come at 8:30 in the morning or you come at 3:30 in the afternoon. There's – to the right and to the left, there's priests hearing confession. And you could literally, if there's an opening, just walk up in the middle of – somebody's presentation, not to be rude to them, but to receive the sacrament.
Right.
You just walk a few feet, and then it's just a day that virtually everybody who goes says, boy, am I glad I went to that.
Well, it's so much of just reinforcing that you're not in this alone as a Catholic man.
That's right.
There are other Catholic men that take their faith seriously.
That's right. And I think we need to see that. It's just like, you know, you're big in business, right? Or you certainly have been big in business. And you know this, like when you go to a conference or you go to a presentation, you go to a seminar of some sort. One of the reasons we go is not just to learn maybe something from the person that's presenting, somebody that's giving a talk about a specific topic, but you go for the camaraderie. You go to, meet other people that are you know, have successes that you do, that have struggles with that you do, that have just kind of their life has paralleled yours for a variety of reasons. And I think this is all of that because there's businessmen, there's laborers, there are people of faith, all that, right? People in radio and TV, and all that. And you're going to find somebody that you're going to, gel with. And I think that reason alone is worth going. Listen, brother, I have a couple more things to ask you. Will you hang with us through the break?
Sure.
Very good. Okay, listen to this Elvis music. This is one of the favorite songs of our producer, Chris Pressler. Folks, you're listening to Faith and Sport. Stay with us. Dr. John Acquaviva, we'll have one more segment right after this.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Faith and Sport. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. I teach exercise science right over there at Wingate University. It's about 35 minutes east of where we do the show in Charlotte. Either way, you're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio. You're listening to Radio Maria, and we're happy that you joined us. Faith and Sport, this is where we look at sport through a Catholic lens. And on the phone right now, we're going to continue that conversation with Kevin Spaulding. He's the author of the book From Panic to Power, Simple Yet Powerful Techniques to Overcome Your Fears. He's an audiobook narrator, a business coach. And as we mentioned, he's going to be the master of ceremony for the upcoming Men's Conference of the Carolinas. It's going to take place a week from this Saturday right here in Charlotte. And remember, there's a virtual option. So wherever you are, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Louisiana, Texas, you can join us for this. This is a great venue, and our friend Jason Murphy puts together the whole thing. He does the show here called The Obligation. In fact, he joins me about once a month to be a guest on this show. Let's get back to our conversation with Kevin Spaulding. And speaking of the Master of Ceremony, speaking of the Men's Conference of the Carolinas, Kevin, how did Jason approach you? How did this come about for you to be the Master of Ceremony?
Well, I've been in and around for a fair bit of time. I've met Jason, talked to him a few times. I know some of the other guys on his board.
Yep.
And it just went on. All of a sudden, he called me. I guess his first choice must not have been available. He said, Kevin, would you be willing to be MC?
Brother, I know the feeling, because when he asked me, I said, let me see. Kevin Spaulding turned this down. Like, why do you want me? But no, it was fun, and you're going to do a good job, brother, just because you're natural, right? Like, it's one of the things that makes people good at things like this is that you've had a microphone in front of you before, and you take away like ultimate fear. We all get nervous, but you take away some of that nervousness and fear due to repetition, and you end up doing a good job. So yeah, that's awesome, brother. And I mean this with all sincerity. It's a nice compliment, and I'm sure that you're flattered and blessed that he asked you. So good for you.
I am.
All right, brother, it's come to that time of the show. Do you have a book in front of you called Improving Body Image Through Catholic Teaching in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've asked you to select a couple paragraphs, and I want to do two things. I want to promote this message, this very, very important message that we are, our bodies, our existence is a gift from God, and I wrote this book because so many people struggle with how they look, and they're trying to perfect it through other outlets, and I'm trying to turn people back toward the sacraments, and in particular, the words of God that say, no, you're great the way you are, and I love you the way you are. So give us an example of some of the commentary from this Professor Acquaviva in the book, Improving Body Image Through Catholic Teaching.
Okay, before I start that, I will do the small caveat. You know, when I am narrating, one of the things is I have the beauty of being able to edit. So everybody's always going to have some little pause or something in there, but it's very easy to... You can't hear the edits, but believe me, there's 99 times more than the ones that you hear there.
Got it. Go for it.
But what I selected was, the media has convinced us that we can be physically perfect. And as a result, many have a preoccupation with appearance. And sadly, for those many, the attempt of a beautiful face and a well-proportioned, well-toned body is a part of everyday life. However, since perfection is impossible, millions of men and women suffer from some form of body distortion. And more importantly, they think their body lacks beauty or relevance unless they are found attractive, sexy, or lean, or all three. Results of that intense desire to cure body infection, imperfections, are easy to see. Eating disorders, the constant change in exercise habits, the prevalence of cosmetic surgery, and steroid use by non-athletes, most of which are common in early adulthood. When a disproportionate amount of time and effort are directed at this, daily productivity and emotional and spiritual health are compromised. Excess worrying, spending vast amounts of money, and obsessively dieting or exercising will eventually harm every relationship in our lives, including the one with God. Despite sincere efforts to be free of this issue, too many adults lose the battle when trying to defeat it without God's help. And Catholics, even the faithful and well-catechized, are not immune to this struggle. I suggest that because, as I'm sure you know, that's right from your preface.
That's right.
And that kind of sets a little bit of the stage that it is so pervasive. And I think even as I encountered this book, okay, I'm chronologically gifted. I don't have a dad spot. I've got a father figure. But in my history, yeah, there were times that, I mean, I even kind of wrapped around that whole concept weight and et cetera. How do I look? I'm retired military, so there's the physicality that has to go with that. And I have people close to me who have encountered very serious issues with that. Yeah. And it is a big issue. And so I was delighted to be able to lend my voice to this.
No, I appreciate that, brother, that you picked as good as a set of paragraphs as you could have. It just got right to the heart of it to start. I'm going to end with this little story because, as you're saying about, like, you've had moments of weakness in your life, maybe months or years in your life, and everybody has, I think. I think that's pretty common. And I want to end this conversation with just a brief story. A really good friend of mine who is a devoted and great Catholic parish priest one time shared with me that is his big crutch is his view of his own body and him always kind of like thinking about being more youthful and acting more youthful. And I know that part of it, we portray that youth through our bodies, right? And it was interesting because I did, this is before I even wrote the book. I certainly didn't prompt the conversation, but he shared that with me as a good friend. We're both, you know, we both consider each other good friends, but I thought that was interesting because it's something that you don't expect to hear from a priest, but we are all subject to this, right? That's the whole point.
Sure.
Is that if we were born with original sin, that's part of the point of the book, is that we are going to fall prey to the social media in particular and magazines and TV shows and so forth. And so it hits us all, even the good, faithful parish priest. Kevin Spaulding,
yeah.
I thank you so much for sharing your witness to the faith. Thank you for saying yes to so many audiobooks, especially the ones that are Catholic. And leave us with your website. So if people want to find out more about you and kind of help the way that you help people in business, share us that website.
Well, I have www.kevinspaulding.com, but in all candor, I have largely stepped away from my consulting and business coaching, and I kind of just enjoy the audio books.
Yep.
So I invite you to just look up my name, Kevin Spaulding, on audible.com.
There you go. Brother, I appreciate you being here, and I am going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for all those folks at that conference a week from Saturday. But I know it's going to be a success. I just hope that it's fruitful to everybody in attendance.
Thank you, John. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Kevin. Take care, buddy. There you go, folks. Kevin Spaulding, the master of ceremony for this year's Men's Conference of the Carolinas, take place at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. Chris, is Carolina Catholic Radio going to be there this year? Are you going to be there?
I haven't heard anything from David yet on that. I'm waiting to hear from him and see if we're going to do a live broadcast or maybe rebroadcast it at a later time. That's what we did last year.
That's right. In fact, I want to say some form or the other, we've done it three or four times. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe five even. I remember the first time I met you was at the men's conference.
Yeah.
It took place at St. Patrick's.
At St. Patrick's. That's right. You, I, and Ed were there.
That's right. That was good stuff. In fact, that's where you and I literally met for the first time. And
that's right.
Yep. We've developed a professional.
We put together the ultimate faith and sport team.
That's right. Was that great or what, man?
That was
so cool. Anyway, just to let you guys know, listeners, Improving Body Image Through Catholic Teaching, the full title of that book is How Theology of the Body and Other Church Writings Can Transform Your Life. Chris, you were going to say something.
And when he was reading that excerpt from your book, I thought I saw a tear start to roll down your cheek, but I'm going to have to play back the video after the show to make sure. But I thought I saw one start to roll down your cheek when he was reading that.
Chris, I cannot be more sincere. Like, I don't know how sincere I come across, but when he told me that he like selected my book to be the audiobook narrator, I was so flattered. I was like, me? Like, you picked my book? I thought it was great. I think it does have a great message. But either way, I think it's natural to be flattered by that.
Yeah.
Folks, listen, we have a couple minutes left here on Faith in Sport, where we apply our faith to all aspects of sport, whether you're a fan, an athlete, a referee, umpire, whatever the case is. And thank you for joining us today here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria. Brother, I promised the listener the quick Q&A with Dr. A. I think everybody's pretty much been at the edge of their seat waiting for excerpts from my book to be read and the quick Q&A. Go ahead, shoot one of those questions at me.
As I sit here with my Atlanta Braves baseball cap on, I'm going to ask this question. Your thoughts on the rule change regarding the shift in MLB?
Now, are you familiar with this means, right? They used to be able to shift and they could have as many people as they wanted to one side of the infield. Now, of course, it's changed, right?
Yeah.
They said there has to be on the left side of the infield, the shortstop and the third baseman have to be, and on the other side, the second baseman and the first baseman. Now, here's the kicker. What's the whole purpose of doing this, Chris? What's the whole purpose of shifting?
They want to shift the players to their
because
trying to
what
find
does the data say?
The hitter, which direction the hitter is going to hit towards. They want to have their players ready to catch that ball.
That's right. So if you have three people, let's say it's a left-handed hitter, and they tend to hit the ball toward the second baseman, say. So what they'll do is bring over the shortstop and the second baseman and the first baseman all on the right side of the infield.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the rules are the rules in that you could put anybody wherever you want.
Right.
But they said, let's not do that. Now, here's the interesting thing. After everybody played eight games, they found that there was a slight uptick when they changed the rule to more runs. Now, you would think, okay, yeah, that's okay, whatever, that's fine. Less runs, more runs. But if there's more runs being scored playing in the normal position, why did you do the shift in the first place?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense why they did it. And either way, if they want to change the rules like that, I don't think it's going to bother people one way or the other. But I thought it was odd that they want to do this. And I think it's as much as anything, Chris. I think they want to look like a traditional baseball game because it does look odd if you tune in and you're like, what are all three of those people doing over on the right side of the infield, or what are three people doing on the left side of the infield? I was really surprised they did that, but maybe it's going to work somehow and people are going to like it. But I've said this on the show. I've said this to you outside of the show. The amount of people that like baseball is this big, right? It's a tiny percent of people. I don't think a rule change like this is going to make one difference or the other.
That's just like making the size of the bases bigger so that they can take advantage of more stolen bases.
I know. It's like 3 inches bigger.
Yeah.
One great thing about baseball is that the game is virtually the same as it was 50 years ago.
Right.
Why are you changing the size of the bases to put more people on base? That's not fair. If somebody's average is going to be higher as a result of bigger bases, that ruins the records. That's the one thing. If somebody hits 300 today, Chris, it means something like as it did 30 years ago.
That's right.
Right? Where all these other rule changes, like more points in the NBA, 50 years ago, there wasn't a three-point basket.
That's right.
So there's the playing field's not level.
That's right. It goes back to that old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's right. And baseball's not broke. If people think their favorite sport is all these other sports, that's fine with them. But I know one thing. We're not going to see an uptick. They saw an uptick in runs because they changed the shift around. One more person's not going to watch the game whether the base is bigger or not. It's ridiculous. Just leave the rules the same. All right, folks, that's my complaint for the day. I got a little fired up there, didn't I?
Yeah.
All right, so, folks, listen, I want to give thanks to Ed Billick for joining us on the show today, for Kevin Spaulding, audiobook narrator and author himself, for being on the show. I want to thank Chris Pressler for all he does for Carolina Catholic Radio, in particular, Faith in Sport. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Please join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria for more Faith in Sport. St. Sebastian,
pray for us. You've been listening to Faith in Sport on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic mobile app. We've also been broadcasting across the Radio Maria broadcast area. I want to thank all of you tuned in on Radio Maria and Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte for tuning in for this edition of Faith in Sport, and invite you to tune in again next time for more Faith in Sport right here. And also, whenever you go, log on to CarolinaCatholicMedia.org or the Carolina Catholic mobile app. Make sure to hit that Donate Now button to help keep Carolina Catholic Radio on the air and great programs like Faith in Sports.